mic levels are up and the song's playing. Testing, testing, check, check, check. Turn my mic up. Oh, there it is. Okay, that should be good. Yes. Thank you. Great. We're good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We did it. Thank you.
Nope.
Try my Old Spice. You can use it on your pits, chest, and even your...
And good afternoon, folks. We're on the Monday afternoon show. Looks like we are here. Everything is okay. It's working. I don't think there's glitches. We'll find out in a minute if you can hear me. Can you hear me? Okay, great. Welcome to the Monday afternoon show. We are on the end of April, last show in April here. Kieran here with you till 6 p.m., got music coming your way, got some other audio, got some students rising up and making their voices heard on campuses all over, inspiring stuff, trying to talk to the war machine through direct action, nonviolent civil disobedience. Over 200 encampments, 200 encampments on United States universities and colleges, campuses all over the country, with some brutal crackdowns. They're talking about National Guard. Kathy Hochul, is the governor of New York going to call in the National Guard for Columbia University? That didn't really work out too well for Kent State University in 1970 in Ohio now, did it? So we have an anniversary. I thought it was the anniversary of Kent State, the massacre in which the National Guard troops were called out to kill. Sorry, the National Guard was called out in Ohio in 1970 to so-called keep the peace, which they ended up shooting and killing four students and wounding nine others. That was on May 4th. The torching of the ROTC building took place on May 2nd. And on this day, April 29th, 1970, the United States and South Vietnamese forces invaded Cambodia. This was supposedly to take on the Viet Cong, take on communist forces in Cambodia, and that didn't go too well either. Neither did Afghanistan or Iraq. And now, you know, some people, if you believe in genocide, would say that Gaza is going very well, successful endeavors in Gaza right now. But if you're an actual human being, this is one of the biggest human catastrophes, especially in 100 years, like since World War II. So I can't help but to mention the good people of Gaza who are being slaughtered as we speak. I'm going to go to high school right now. My high school experience musically. I found this guy from the Ivory Coast called Alpha Blondie, a great reggae musician, super chill guy, sings in five different languages at least, has been to the Middle East and sings about peace amongst all cultures there. This is an album off an album he released at some point when I was in high school, long ago, called Masada, the mountain. Mountain significant in Jewish history. Here's Alpha Blondy with a track, title track off the album Masada, to kick off the Monday afternoon show. It's kind of upbeat, so let's enjoy the beautiful spring day. Things are growing, green is happening, sun is shining, little sprinkles of rain here and there, a little bit of humidity, flowers are popping, people are picking tulips, daffodils. It's going to be okay. All things shall pass, but never fall fully asleep. Some sleep is good, but stay awake.
With the birds from the eaves and clean up my sins. While the birds sing, I'm gonna walk up to the top of the rock of sacrifice. Cause I know now life and or dies. Yes, I know now life is a sacrifice. And I know now, life is a sacrifice. Witness the rising sun from Masada. Witness the rising sun now from Masada. I'm gonna witness the rising sun from Masada. Witness the rising sun now from Masada. Sleep by the Dead Sea and rise up with the birds from the eaves and clean up my sins. While the birds sing, I'm gonna climb up to the top of the rock of sacrifice. Cause I know now the Lord has come for dead his people. Yes, the Lord has come for dead his people. Yes, the Lord has come for dead his people. Witness the rising sun from Masada. Witness the rising sun now from Masada. I'm gonna witness the rising sun from Masada. Witness the rising sun now from Masada. Yes, from Masada. Song from Masada. Witness the rising sun
He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist, and a Baptist, and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill you for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA, and he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan, and he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy, he's fighting for the Reds, he says it's for of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die, and he never sees the writing on the walls. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned him at Dachau? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one weapon to the war, and without him all this killing can't go on. He's the universal soldier, and he really is to blame, but his orders come from far away no more. They come from him and you and me, and brothers, can't you see, this is not the way we put an end to war.
That is Buffy St. Marie from the album Up Where We Belong, singing the song Universal Soldier in this time of war and conflict. Beautiful Native American indigenous music right there coming your way on the Monday afternoon show. This isn't quite indigenous, but it gets close when you talk about Willie Nelson, Americana, happy birthday, Willie. Born in 1933 right there. It was a big year, Willie. I got a track with him with Snoop Doggy Dogg. But here's him with Merle Haggard talking about the world. This is called It's All Going to Pot. Old school Willie Nelson singing it on his birthday. Happy birthday, Willie Nelson.
Well, now it's all going to pot, whether we like it or not. Best I can tell, the world's gone to hell. We're sure gonna miss it a lot. All of the whiskey in Lynchburg, Tennessee, just couldn't hit the spot. I got a $100 bill, friend, you keep your pills, cause it's all the way to pot. That cackle babble head in the box must think I'm dumb as a rock. Reading me the news while I'm kicking off my shoes, and it's scaring me out of my socks.
little stranger I'm not. But buddy, let me tell you what, if you ask old Will, they say, here's the deal, friends, it's all going to pot.
Well, it's all going to pot, whether we like it or not. Best I can tell, the world's gone to hell, and we're all gonna miss it a lot.
All the whiskey in Lynchburg, Tennessee, just couldn't hit the spot. Got $100 bill, you can keep your bills, friend, it's all going to pot.
And Merle Haggard on his birthday. Happy birthday, Willie. Now we're going over to Claire Daly right now at the European Union. This is just a couple weeks ago. Here she is.
I think I speak for all of us that we have been part of something very special here tonight. It's been a difficult meeting, but it's been such an important one, because what we've done is put on trial Israeli genocide here in the heart of the beast that has been complicit in it. Because the question was asked, how has it continued? And I think it's been answered by Francesca and others. It has continued only because of the enablement of the US and the EU and the white supremacist countries, the old colonial powers. That has got us to the situation that we are in today. But I think by us being here, us who are involved in these institutions, it in and of itself is a powerful statement of how things are changing. I think we're all emerging from this meeting with a much greater understanding of how we got to this point and how we can change it. Because as the speakers have said, the genocide that we see wasn't accidental. It didn't happen on October the 7th. It was rooted in the settler colonial project that began with the Nakba, but emboldened by the persistent violations of international law by Israel with impunity. That's why we are where we are today. That's why we have a crisis on a global scale. And the crisis in Gaza is absolutely a crisis of humanity and a crisis of international law. That's what we're trying to salvage. International law isn't great. It has plenty of flaws, but it is the best that we have. And I think our expert speakers have put it up to us to what we need to do in defence of international law. Europe needs to change course. It needs to get out from under the apron of the US. It needs to start exercising an independent foreign policy based on the upholding of international law. It is that simple. So, look, we've had... an incredibly important event. It's been really constructive and it's had brought us huge clarity. Everybody who hasn't read Francesca's report, please read it. It's absolute dynamite. Devastating that it had to be written. Devastating that behind all the statistics is a human being who's suffering as we speak. It's kind of mad that in Ireland there are actually psychologists providing treatment for people in Ireland to deal with the trauma, and they're just watching the situations on their phone. How much trauma is going to be carried for generations as a result of what's going on? But we've got greater clarity here tonight. I think I'd make a special point to the staff members who are here, because it's not been easy for staff in these institutions. I think all of us feel a sort of a collective guilt, an embarrassment that maybe the organisations that many of ye thought ye joined with a desire of doing good and advancing the cause of humanity, and you've found your employers complicit in a genocide. That's a hard burden for staff to take, and I really hope out of this event that you realise you are not alone. And it's not the politicians who change things. I'm really glad for my MEP colleagues who are here, and from us at the top table for hosting this, to all of you who've come. Politicians don't change things. It's the people who change things. And we saw that with apartheid South Africa. It was people power that delivered an end to that. And how fitting that 30 years on after the ending of apartheid, it was South Africa, and South Africa alone, that went into The Hague. If that isn't a lesson for how humanity can move forward, I don't know what is, because it's about mobilising and capitalising on the power that's there with everybody. Everybody here can do something to advance the cause. Talk to your friends tomorrow about what you heard. Get involved in the BDS movement. Speak up at work. There's loads more people who think the way you do. The lid isn't going back on this. The Zionist project is over because, as Mick said earlier, it's lost the backing of a majority of the Jewish population globally, and the world can see it for what it is. So we have to use that now to go forward and build a better system, justice and accountability and self-determination for Gaza and Palestine. And if you ever feel that your efforts are flawed or that you're not listening, well then take inspiration from the courage of Francesca, of Diana and of David. I've been at many meetings here, but the powerful contributions from these wonderful people is the way forward. So we'll bring them all in our hearts. Go forward. Long live Palestine. Long live Gaza. Thank you all so much.
All right, that's from the European Union, Claire Daly from Ireland. The Irish do know a thing or two about genocide, as do the Native Americans, as do many other populations in the world. Yeah, thank you to Claire Daly for her work in the European Union. We are going to try to go to the phone right now. I'm going to see if this hookup, I have a new hookup. I'm going to see if my phone caller can hear me. Phone caller, can you hear me?
Yes, hi, I can hear you.
No kidding. So I officially have my phone plugged into the mixer. You are live on the air. We have calling into the Monday afternoon show, Wayne Coe, calling in from Chatham. Wayne actually sent me a different audio, which we're going to play later from Claire Daly.
She's very popular.
From a little while ago. That was a while ago. The one you sent me was a very short 1 minute one, in which she has been consistently calling out the European Union and the president of the European Union and most nations in the European Union, for complicity in this genocide right now in Gaza. So big kudos to the Irish MEP, Claire Daly. So thanks again for sending me that, Wayne Coe. And welcome to the Monday afternoon show. How goes it with you?
Oh, it's great. Everyone, I'm sure, is fascinated, amused, excited by the nationwide college protests, which the more the state tries to steal their free speech and bludgeon them for talking about history, it seems the more excited the students get.
Yeah, I think it might work out. We're coming up on the anniversary of Kent State, 1970. Yes. Tin soldiers and Nixon's coming. Nixon invaded Cambodia on this day, April 29th, 1970, with the South Vietnamese forces of the United States to further repel the threat of communism taking over the world. And Really, that just did not do well. It ended up with like dead students, for one thing, in Ohio. But yeah, so that took place on May 4th, and on May 2nd was a torching of the ROTC building, just days after this invasion.
Well, and the use of the terms communism and terrorism to dehumanize anyone who disagrees with the imperial project of war capitalism is, it's now just become standard. So you can expect to be called a terrorist if you oppose, the genocidal actions of the United States. You can expect, and you're seeing Hillary Clinton do it to Tulsi Gabbard, to claim people are, Russian bots and controlled by Russia if they disagree with dumping $100 billion or $200 billion of taxpayer money into the pockets of rich American war profiteers. It has nothing to do with communism. It has to do with a system that benefits it extraordinarily certain private companies during times of war. Basically, they get an open check from the U.S. Treasury to loot the taxpayer's purse. And that's why the students are on campuses, out in the streets, as well as Jill Stein, the presidential candidate who was knocked over and assaulted and then accused of assault and arrested. All these people are on campuses now about divestment. And I think for the average person, they may not even know exactly what that means. I'll give you a good example. Throughout New York State, they have a teacher's retirement system. It's a $120 billion slush fund for Wall Street. And about 10% of your taxes, I think it's 9% in Chatham, go to this teacher's retirement system. And this is a domestic and a foreign portfolio. And if you look it up online, each of your public schools in their retirement systems, if you go to the retirement system in Massachusetts, they will have domestic and foreign equity portfolios. And then if you look into companies that are profiting from genocide, so companies whose stock shot up after October 7th as the U.S. dumped money into the pockets of these war profiteers, companies that literally launder their profits through the blood of torn apart Palestinian children, they're all listed there in these portfolios of public schools and, of course, private universities. So the students are protesting, saying we shouldn't have our tuition money funding the massacre of students, of children in Gaza. And I've been down at public schools saying the same thing. I am angry and sick of it. Divest from these companies. And if you want to have some idea of the companies, Brown and Root, Boeing, Raytheon, RTX, which makes cluster munitions, Citibank, Chevron Oil. So basically all the usual suspects, big banks, big insurance companies, and munitions manufacturers, all these people get an open funnel of cash into their businesses from the federal government on the federal side, but also from the state government through the teachers' retirement system. And I don't think anyone but me is talking about it, but there's a couple of videos. I'll give one tiny plug. NYSTRS Divest. NYSTRS is the New York State teachers' retirement system. Divest under Wayne Coe on YouTube. And you can watch not just my talk, but I put over the screen the list of companies and what kind of munitions and occupation and genocide profits they make. So I think it's exciting that students are out in the streets. I think for the average person, they're out at the colleges and in the streets because they're identifying with their natural constituency, young people. They don't want to have their money killing young people. I, as a parent, don't want to have my school taxes killing young people. It's insane. But it can be kept hidden unless people protest right post and talk about it.
Amen to that. And it's ironic that, you know, there are a lot of good teachers out there. I was up in Boston over the weekend where my son teaches in the public school in Roxbury, and just teachers out there trying to do the right thing. A lot in my family, and a lot of what these teachers are trying to do in the system is to teach peace, to teach cooperation, to teach getting along with one another, respecting differences, to grow up in a world, to create a world where, you know, we don't have to have violence, conflict, and ending in war and Holocaust.
But they're teaching one thing and they're financing another.
But what I was going to say is, is unfortunately attached to these public school system, which is this giant, enormous fund. It's one of the last vestiges, the last vestige of public funding that has not been completely co-opted and taken over by the private sector, and they are waiting.
But I have to question that.
Hold on, Wayne. I gotta finish my.
Go ahead.
Just so we can have a conversation here. The teaching and the public school system is still hanging on to this ancient, you know, philosophy of like, okay, we're going to teach our children and try to raise them up right. What has happened is definitely, and I believe, and this also has to do with the textbook system. That has nothing to do with, I don't think, the teachers' unions. The textbook system, I noticed in the 1990s when I was in high school, the textbooks, the books that were being, the propaganda that was being fed into the public school system were completely like Pentagon supported, obviously. They were just like completely, propaganda, putting up the American empire.
Yeah, it's state funded. It's pro corporate, pro war, pro white, pro male, pro heteronormative. A dumb middle class suburban kid like me will come out of a public school feeling extremely superior, entitled, and gratified.
Or if you're on the fringe or on the margins or living in whatever, you feel completely beaten down, ostracized, depressed, and like not so great about society.
Yeah, or even if you're a woman. When I was going to school, which is a while back, it's the 70s, women didn't make anything. They didn't create anything. They didn't have any economic impact. They weren't celebrated. Now, I'm sure it's changed somewhat, but they like people of color, were just essentially made absent.
So your personal experience in the 1970s was the absolute invisibility of women and people of color and whatever.
I mean, they were there, but it's like Betsy Ross soda flag. And maybe they talk about...
But, like, there's a lot of women in history that were there and making huge waves that don't necessarily got the credit. Like, for example, Dorothy Day.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Yes.
Like, we're not going to say they were all completely off.
I'm saying how they're erased, just like the Palestinians are erased from history. The indigenous people who've been in Palestine for 2,000 years, in the last 70 years, there has been a concerted effort in media and academia to say they were, Bedouin farmers and never had the land and didn't exist. And this whole idea of like negating the history of peoples in order to erase them so that you can take their land.
I got you. I know. Yeah. I feel like I understand where you're going with this, and you have taken it upon yourself. And this is not the first time where you have actually confronted the authorities within the school district, within the school system. You have actually gone to meetings. You have recorded meetings. You actually put a movie out about it. We've talked about this on the radio before. Chatham School District is not necessarily...
It's just a little school district. It's like any small school district.
But it's multi-million dollar, investments and stuff like that. So your latest, what you sent me is an example of, going to a public forum and trying to speak your piece.
Yeah, if you want to play it, great.
Well, just tell us a little bit how that went.
Well, this is the second time I appeared. I think I sent you the second talk.
That's right.
So the first talk, I was very polite and very withdrawn, but I kind of told them the process they were going to face. that they have the power to divest from these companies and save children's lives instead of using my tax dollars to fund the extermination of, at this point, it must be 25,000 children. And so they're going to, the process would be, they're going to go to NYSTRS and say, please divest, which I did. I'm the only parent I'm sure has ever gone to the teacher's retirement system. It was very, very intimidating. The teacher's retirement system will sit down a manicured attorney, and he will tell you, we are fiscally required to invest in the maximum profit companies, and anything less would be a violation of our fiscal duties. And, you know, we have, he was not going to say this, but what he's saying is, we have no ethical or moral requirement that those companies don't, you know, massacre children and steal their land and erase them from history. So this is the kind of weird conversation you have when you speak to a corporate head. They're only interested in protecting the capital that the these very, very rich companies have. And they're uninterested in human issues, disinterested. So the teachers' teachers' union is a completely different corporate entity. But the teachers' union controls school boards individually. So the Chatham School Board, a majority of the school board members are teachers, retired teachers, teachers' spouses, education contractors, people in the education industry. So the school boards of New York State, Massachusetts, and California, this is why we have the most expensive school taxes, are there to direct money towards the employees. They don't represent kids or taxpayers or parents. So that's the kind of setting into which you walk when you speak before school board. So there's a And they put in, I want to keep this brief, they put in lots and lots of rules to make you uncomfortable. You have to stand in a certain place. You have to sign in. You have to speak into their mic. You're videotaped from far across the room so that you look like a tiny speck in their video monitor. You're only given 3 minutes to speak, and then you're interrupted. They cut you off. You're only allowed to stand in one place. You can't, for instance, you know, like a normal human, walk among the school board members and talk to them. All these things have been, frankly, most of these restrictions at Chatham were generated over the course of my interaction with them. Like, the more I came, the more they figured out ways to trip me up and try to drive me out.
Okay, so it's like power plays all along. It's like and typical the tactics,
you know,
of
people do not go to school board meetings because, A, individually, they're speaking to a hostile entity. They're not speaking to neighbors and people who have theirs or their kids' interests at heart. So then the question is, well, what? Why do it if it's hopeless? Well, in this case, it is an avenue to talk to human beings who you can apply, as Martin Luther King said, creative pressure. You have to apply pressure to get them to do right. The time is always right to do right. And, that's, I'd say, what I'm doing. I'm trying to make them hear and see what they don't want to hear and see, which is what the students are doing on campuses across the nation. It's just within the public school system, it's like somehow viewed as, like, as you say, pure or public. It's not. The teacher's retirement system is a quasi state entity. In other words, it's an entirely private companies, but the state gives it all its money.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I appreciate you bringing that to the table and you doing the work, and that's like your piece of activism, going to trying to speak truth to an entity.
Well, just go and ask them, you know, why are they invested in Boeing? You know, dropping 2,000-pound bombs on children's and families and houses, and, you know, why are school taxes?
Because this is the American religion. This is the new Christianity. So with that, I want to play some Bad Religion, some punk music from the 80s, Wayne, and we're going to cut it off now and say thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And I'm going to play a track called American Jesus. You can see him.
It's great being on. Thank you, Kieran.
You can see him on the interstate. And thanks, Wayne Coe, for all your work and for calling in.
Visit your school board, folks. And you can find NYSTRS Divest on YouTube, Wayne Coe. Thanks.
Yeah. impressions on the faces of the starting millions of power right up down. The computer drives a grand, he's the motive and the conscience of the murderer. He's a preacher on TV, the false sincerity, the formula driven by the big computers and nuclear bombs. The kids with no bombs and a pimple that he's inside me. Exercising his authority. We've got the American Jesus bolstering national faith. We've got the American Jesus overwhelming millions every day.
Don't let anybody make you think that God chose America as his divine messianic force to be a sort of policeman of the whole world. God has a way of standing before the nations with judgment, and it seems that I can hear God saying to America, you are too arrogant. If you don't change your ways, I will rise up and break the backbone of your power. And I'll place it in the hands of a nation that doesn't even know my name. Be still and know that I'm God.
And help welcome our...
Chora, kahé, e na babá isugussa, dichisila.
Disapá, chocalalo.
Balajá, we agi machla, Superman hook.
Superman.
Babá, alagosa, kogukau bauk, biak dishik, biak balachik.
Kotuk balache.
And now, Baba, Bale, E, Bale, Bilchbog, and that a wet was a gat, Chigatala, Dagulik, Dagwa, the Shiptala, Diluk, Dilak, O Chiptala.
What I was sent to do. Don't
be lying. We get closer to God in a tight situation.
This hip hop, and we a nation.
All my people, come on, come on, come on. All the ladies, come on, come on, come on. Everybody, come on, come on. Say,
everything's gonna be alright.
Like Bob Marley say, wake up and we start to praise. How we start the day, we fall from fake, just jars of clay. Everybody come and walk this way. And yo, we'll let him hear. Let go of all your stress and fear. Yo, I'm trying to have the best this year. Your blessings near, yeah. So let's be clear. It ain't lasting long, so I'm rapping strong until the passion's gone. And leave a legacy and pass batons. And when I'm passing on, remember me, yo, but blast this song. Come on.
Every day we get up and fight. Everything gonna be alright.
Alright, alright, alright.
Everything gonna be alright.
Alright, alright, alright.
Everything gonna be alright. Cause if I fall 7 times, I know I'ma get up 8. I know I'ma get up 8. I won't be afraid. No, 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 no.
What I was sent to do. Don't
be blind, getting closer to God in a tight situation.
This hip hop, and he's a nation.
Welcome to Mother Earth, where hurt people hurt people, and the birds are still chirping on the church steeple. Reverse the curse, send me first lethal. I ride rhymes, let my light shine, watch me murky. Well, y'all, keep holding on, I know you're strong, because life is really what you focus on. So, skip the hatred, it's dangerous how to get each other. We're manipulated, Cambridge Analytica. I don't know who needs to hear this, but don't be mad at me. You wanna change the world, go home and love your family.
Don't worry.
Go home and love your family.
Don't worry. If I fall 7 times, I know I'ma get up 8. I know I'ma get up 8. I won't be afraid. No, 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 no.
Okay, Native American music continuing to come your way on the Monday afternoon show. That's Superman, not Christopher Reeve, but Superman featuring Nina with a track called All Right. And people coming from indigenous nations in the United States here. His birth name was Christian Parrish Takes the Gun. Christian Parrish Takes the Gun, also known as Superman. He was an Absaluke rapper and fancy war dancer who grew up in the Crow Agency in Montana. So he's from the Crow Nation background there and has an amazing story coming up into well-known music for us all. So I thought I'd share that with you on this Monday afternoon show. We're coming up on a half moon this Wednesday, I believe it is. It's Beltane. Wednesday's Beltane. It's a cross quarter in the ancient Celtic pagan festivals. Yes, so it's a waning half moon and will be waning from then on this Wednesday. And Beltane, the first day of May, May Day, also International Workers' Day. Very important, very important. We've talked about it before, but in the ancient history, in the Celtic tradition, the Beltane festival was the Celtic union of goddess and god, also uniting water and light. It's the cross-quarter festival, which means it stands directly in between the spring equinox, which is on my birthday, March 20th, and the summer solstice, which is June 21st, usually, I think, this year, too. And so there you have the cross-quarters right in between those two, very important in celestial ancient traditional observances. It's a celebration also of sensuality. Ooh, baby. Beltane, come on. Of procreation and lots of festivities, including bonfires. We're cutting to the news. And we are back. Back to the Monday afternoon show. More shenanigans for another 50 minutes till 6 p.m. This is your host, Kieran. Thanking you all for listening. Some more birthdays. We have Duke Ellington. Happy birthday. We celebrated Willie Nelson. We got some more Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson not only played tracks with Snoop Doggy Dogg, but also Beyonce. I think they did a whole project together, Snoop and Beyonce. But happy birthday, Duke Ellington, born in 1899, back in the 1800s. Wow. And released so many albums and composed so much music. And here he is with John Coltrane. Duke Ellington on piano with John Coltrane on the sax. This is In a Sentimental Mood. We're going to get mellow here at the 5 o'clock hour. Hope y'all enjoy. Thanks for joining us on these last days of April.
Thank you. and the truth too rarely perceived. And that is the most important topic on earth, peace. What kind of a peace do I mean, and what kind of a peace do we seek? Not a Pax Americana, enforced on the world by American weapons of war. Not the peace of the grave, or the security of the slave. I am talking about genuine peace, the kind of peace that makes life on earth worth living, the kind that enables men and nations to grow and to hope and build a better life for their children. Not merely peace for Americans, but peace for all men and women. Not merely peace in our time, but peace in all time. I speak of peace because of the new face of war. Total war makes no sense in an age where great powers can maintain large and relatively invulnerable nuclear forces and refuse to surrender without resort to those forces. It makes no sense in an age where a single nuclear weapon contains almost 10 times the explosive force delivered by all the Allied air forces in the Second World War. It makes no sense in an age when the deadly poisons produced by a nuclear exchange would be carried by wind and water and soil and seed to the far corners of the globe and to generations yet unborn. Today, the expenditure of billions of dollars every year on weapons acquired for the purpose of making sure we never need them is essential to the keeping of peace. But surely the acquisition of such idle stockpiles, which can only destroy and never create, is not the only, much less the most efficient, means of assuring peace. I speak of peace, therefore, as the necessary rational end of rational men. I realize the pursuit of peace is not as dramatic as the pursuit of war, and frequently the words of the pursuers fall on deaf ears, but we have no more urgent task. Some say that it is useless to speak of peace or world law or world disarmament, and that it will be useless until the leaders of the Soviet Union adopt a more enlightened attitude. I hope they do. I believe we can help them do it. But I also believe that we must re-examine our own attitudes as individuals and as a nation. For our attitude is as essential as theirs. And every graduate of this school, every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace, towards the Soviet Union, towards the course of the Cold War, and towards freedom and peace here at home. First,
tonight's Seder in the streets, which will be happening on the second night of Passover, which is a holiday we observe every year that is all about liberation and how our liberations are intertwined with one another, is coming just hours ahead of a likely Senate vote on $14 billion in military funding and weapons to Israel. So we're here to tell Senator Schumer that this is enough and we need to end U.S. complicity in Israel's genocide against Palestinians. And at the core of the Passover story is that we cannot be free until all people are free. And right now, what we're seeing is that the Israeli government and the United States government are carrying out a genocide of Palestinians in Gaza, over 34,000 people killed in 6 months, in the name of Jewish safety, in the false name of Jewish freedom.
Jews get arrested alongside Jewish elders saying, not in our name, as we have been for seeing business as usual not go on. We are here at the doorstep of Senator Chuck Schumer. To the people in Palestine, we love you. We are with you. We are going to stop this U.S. funding so that you can fight for your own liberation.
Some of the voices at the Seder in the streets to stop arming Israel that was
Voices of Peace. And I think we got to do Claire Daly one more time. Here's a brief from a while ago. Claire Daly at the European Union.
What has been seen cannot be unseen. And the world can now see exactly what European values really are. 200 days of Israel systematically wiping Gaza from the earth. 505 bombs a day, 21 an hour. Doctors executed, mass graves in hospitals, journalists murdered. And all the while with not just the silence, but the active complicity of the European Union. The European Union who flew the flag of the oppressor from day one, whose countries axed the funding to a starving Palestinian population despite any evidence of any wrongdoing from anyone against UNRWA, who increased the flow of weapons to Israel tenfold since they started the genocide, weapons to slaughter Palestinians. So keep your hand-wringing and your crocodile tears. It couldn't have happened without your complicity. It's continuing now because of it. European values, same as it always was. Murder and colonialists, you'll never be forgotten.
There she is again, speaking up. And boy, is it hard to speak up in the face of this crazy war machine. I find myself having a hard time knowing what to do. And thank God for your tolerance and listening and tuning into the Monday afternoon show. The Columbia University student, don't know if Kathy Hochul is sending in the National Guard on this anniversary of the 1970 Kent State massacre of students protesting the invasion of Cambodia by the U.S. and South Vietnamese forces. But here we are. Let's see if we can go to Columbia University, all universities who are holding these encampments and protests and speaking truth to power. They're warning students to leave at Columbia University under threat of all sorts of horrible, suspensions, arrests. Down in Atlanta, Georgia, we're talking about rubber bullets. And let's not forget that there were these Israeli IDF plants at Columbia University that used chemical weapons attacks, the so-called skunk spray, against Muslim and other protesters at Columbia University. Basically, if it were the other way around, it would be called a terrorist attack.
Institutions divesting companies, they say, are complicit in genocide. Well, we have teams of correspondents covering the protests in the U.S. Phil Lavelle is at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Cambridge. Shihab Ratansi will have the latest from George Washington University in the U.S. Capitol. Kristen Salumi is at Yale University. Heidi Jo Castro is at Texas University in Austin. But first, let's speak to Teresa Bowe. She joins us now live from Columbia University in New York, where it all began and the deadline has come and gone. What are you seeing?
Well, we have just been allowed inside the campus. We were waiting for hours outside, and media are being allowed inside the campus for 2 hours each day. I'm not sure if you can see right behind me. That's where the encampment currently is. There's hundreds of students that are there right now. They say they want to shed light on what is happening in Gaza. They want this university, to stop its investments on companies that are profiting from the war in Gaza. They say that they will remain there. We're going to have to see there's an escalating situation. We've been seeing lots of police coming towards university outside. We do not know whether there's going to be an attempt to remove the students here by force. That's what many of the students are fearing. We're hearing that they've been given some piece of paper that they have to sign. In that paper, it says that they need to identify themselves, sign that paper so that they can end this semester in peace. However, we're just hearing also from them that they're saying that Columbia University is fabricating a state of emergency to suspend, expel, and evict hundreds of students. So you can hear them singing and chanting right behind me. We heard a statement from the president of Columbia University earlier today. She says that the university is trying to solve this problem peacefully. She says that they're trying to guarantee freedom of expression, that is extremely important in this country, but at the same time, allow the Jewish students in this university to feel safe. She also says that the university won't divest from Israel, that they're willing to hear proposals from the students about what to do with university investment. However, they're saying that at this point, that is not something that is going to happen. It's important what is happening here right now, because many of the students are saying that this is an act, what they're doing here right now, is an act of civil disobedience. There's a long tradition in U.S. campuses and universities of them taking to the streets, taking to universities such as this one, to express themselves back from the 1970s during the Vietnam War. But people here are saying that this time is time to shed light on the killings, on the displacement, and on the hunger that is going on in Gaza.
We'll continue to follow what goes on at Columbia as we also see those aerial shots with you. Teresa Bow there for us live in New York. Let's cross over to Kristen Salumi, who's at Yale University in New Haven, Connecticut, with more there. Obviously, very large demonstrations going on in New York. What's it like where you are?
Similar situation here in New Haven, Connecticut, the home of Yale University, where students are also demanding that their
university... For those who hide behind the false image of the Son of Man shall stand before God, 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 God.
It has begun, the beginning of the end. Yeah.
Voice of racism preaching the gospel is devilish. A fake church called the prophet Muhammad a terrorist. Forgetting God is not religion, but a spiritual bond. And Jesus is the most quoted prophet in the Quran. They bombed innocent people trying to murder Saddam. When you gave them those chemical weapons to go to war with Iran. This is the information that they hold back from Peter Jennings. Cause Condoleezza Rice is just a new age Sally Hemings. I break it down with critical language and spiritual anguish. The Judas I hang with. The guilt of betraying Christ, who murdered him, stole his religion, and painted him white. Translated in psychologically tainted philosophy, conservative political right-wing ideology. Glued together sloppily, the blasphemy of a nation. Got my back to the wall, cause I'm facing assassination. Guantanamo Bay, federal incarceration. How could this be? The land of the free, home of the brave, indigenous Holocaust, and the home of the slaves. Corporate America, dancing offbeat to the rhythm. You really think this country never sponsored terrorism? Human rights violations, we continue the saga. El Salvador and the Contras and Nicaragua. And on top of that, you still want to take me to prison just because I won't trade humanity for patriotism. It's like MK Ultra controlling your brain, suggestive thinking causing your perspective to change. They want to rearrange the whole point of view of the ghetto. The fourth branch of the government wants to settle a bandana full of glittering generality, fighting for freedom and fighting terror. But what's reality? Read about the history of the place that we live in, and stop letting corporate news tell lies to your children. Flow like the blood of Abraham through the Jews and the Arabs, broken apart like a woman's heart abused in a marriage. The brink of holy war, bottled up like a miscarriage. Embedded correspondence don't tell the source of the tension, and they refuse to even mention European intervention or the massacres in Jenin. The innocent screams, U.S. manufactured missiles and M16s, weapon contracts and corrupted American dreams, media censorship blocking out
out the video screens. A continent of oil kingdoms bought for a bargain. Democracy is just a word when the people are starving. The average citizen made to be blind to the reason. A desert full of genocide where the bodies are freezing. And the world doesn't believe that you're fighting for freedom. Cause you left the Middle East and gave birth to a demon. It's open season with the CIA bugging my crib. Trapped in a ghetto region like a Palestinian kid. Where nobody gives a fuck whether you die or you live. I'm trying to give the truth and I know the price is my life. But when I'm gone, they'll sing a song about immortal technique. Who beheaded the president and the princes and sheiks. You don't give a fuck about us. I can see through your facade like a fallen angel standing in the presence of God. Bitch niggas scared of the truth when it looks at you hard. It's like MK Ultra controlling your brain. Suggestive thinking causing your perspective to change. They want to rearrange the whole point of view in the ghetto. The fourth branch of the government want us to settle. A bandana full of glittering generality. Fighting for freedom and fighting terror. But what's reality? Martial law is coming soon to the hood to kill yo. While you hanging your flag out your project window. Yeah. The fourth branch of the government, aka the media, seems to now have a retirement plan for ex-military officials, as if their opinion was at all unbiased. A machine shouldn't speak for men, so shut the fuck up, you mindless drone. And you know it's serious when these same media outfits are spending millions of dollars on a PR campaign to try to convince you they're fair and balanced, when they're some of the most ignorant and racist people giving that type of mentality a safe haven. We act like we share in the spoils of war that they do. We die in wars. We don't get the contracts to make money off them afterwards. We don't get weapons contracts, nigga. We don't get cheap labor for our companies, nigga. We are cheap labor, nigga. Turn off the news and read, nigga. Read. Read.
Immortal Technique, breaking it down on the Monday afternoon show. Yes, indeed. And another call from Wayne Coe talking about teachers, calling it out. Very good points. We're going to continue that conversation to be continued. The main question being, what teacher out there in New York State is willing to go to the school board, willing to go to the authorities, the appropriate authorities, to question and confront where all of their retirement pension money is going? And as he has mentioned, a lot of it's going to war. And the war machine and weapons manufacturers, people like companies like Raytheon and others like Boeing, who send weapons of war to places like Israel, who do things like genocide. So very good questions, very good convos. Like to have it continue here on the Monday afternoon show. We have more birthdays and whatnot, and what's happening at Columbia University? Well, here she is. Here's a reporter at Yale. So Yale, it's happening at Yale too. Let's see what she says. Hang on.
Benefiting from the war on Gaza. And already the university here denied that request. It did so on April 17th. That was shortly after the encampment, which maybe you can see behind me in the distance here. This is as close as they'll let us get with the camera. That was first set up in solidarity with the Columbia demonstration at another location on campus. The university moved in after 3 days to clear out the students. They arrested about 44 of them. But yesterday they came back. They came back out. There was a march in the city here of about 1,000 people. And I'm told about 250 of the demonstrators, the student demonstrators anyways, came back here to Yale to reestablish this encampment. And much like the situation at Columbia, they too are facing threats of possible arrest and suspension. The university saying that the students are violating policies that are meant to policies as to who can set up on campus and what can be done on campus, things like using loudspeakers and so on. Although what we've seen here today has been.
So, you know, it's bad when the Ivy League students are doing more than we are in the street. That's how I feel. I'm like, oh, my God, go Harvard, go Yale, go Columbia. Like, these kids are getting out there, and this is a post 9/11 generation who has known nothing but the constant state of warfare, perpetual warfare, this war on terror. It was like the war on drugs we grew up with, on crack. The war on terror was like basically meant Patriot Act, police state, don't question authority. Like, you don't stand a chance. Like, you want to set up a tent in your university, like, good luck. Come on. And these kids are doing it. These young folks are doing it. That takes acts of courage that I commend. And go Yale, go Harvard. And all the 200 other encampments around the country. It's pretty big. It's pretty big.
At Grand Army Plaza on the second night. To address the crowd during the Seder.
Right. Okay, so we have Naomi Klein address the crowd at this in this public Seder in New York City. She gave an amazing speech opposing the false idol of Zionism. Let's go to some more music. We're going to wrap it up. It's the anniversary of Kent State coming up, 1970. Here we are, 54 years later, where the governor calls out the National Guard in Ohio to Kent State University, wounding 9 students and killing 4 who were nonviolently protesting the war in Vietnam, which had morphed into the invasion of Cambodia. Today is the anniversary of the invasion of Cambodia by United States and South Vietnamese forces, which was a lot of it was very covert. There were bombings in Laos. There was bombings all over Southeast Asia in this time period that were obscured by the military-industrial complex and their hold on the media. As a family member mentioned to me recently, that after the assassinations that took place, these assassinations in the 60s, JFK, MLK, RFK, Malcolm X, very key assassinations, all connected, all for reasons that are connected. The National Intelligence Apparatus of the United States, the Pentagon intelligence agencies took hold of the media in a way that had never been done before in U.S. history. And that continues today. We may not see it, but it's a transparent fact that the Pentagon budget for media relations and media stories are up in like $75 billion or something like that. Absolutely absurd. What is that money going to? It's going to media stories. So any media story you hear that actually matters, and we're not talking about porn star hush money. We're not talking about falsifying your business records or cheating on your taxes. We're talking about war crimes. We're talking about aiding and abetting genocide. We're talking about the military-industrial complex with their full-spectrum dominance in the entire world. Those are the stories that matter. And the Pentagon is there, and you are susceptible. So be awake. Here's the dead Kennedys. Speaking of assassinations, the dead Kennedys, with a song going on this anniversary of the invasion of Cambodia in 1970, 54 years later. This is called Holiday in Cambodia. We'll be right back.
to and you know you've seen it all. That is carbon, and you'll go far back east to time, don't crawl. Play ethnicky jazz to parade your snares on your bug grand stereo. Bragging that you know how the niggas feel cold and the sun's got so much so. It's time to taste what you rose beer. Right, God will not help you here. Grace yourself, my dear. Grace yourself, my dear. It's a holiday in Cambodia. It's tough, kid, but it's alive. It's a holiday in Cambodia. Don't forget to pack a wife. You're a star, they'll speak, you suck like a leech. You want everyone to act like you. Cause they ask for the bitch so you can get a rich. But your boss can switch you off here. You'll work out a little bad in your back for a bowl of a race a day. Slave or soldier, still you starve and your head is skewing on a stake. Now you can know where people are one. Now you can know where they get things done. What you need, my son? What you need, my son? It's a holiday in Cambodia where people dress in black. Need a holiday in Cambodia where no kids ask for the rest.
Strong teardrops, no one.
Right, she means it too. That's Stephanie Bentley on her birthday, born on this day in 1963, singing I Will Survive on this Monday afternoon show. Coming up on the 6 o'clock hour, this is Kieran here with you for another 12 minutes or less. And thank you for all joining and enjoying this beautiful April weather. We have the death day of Alfred Hitchcock, died on this day in 1980. Good old Alfred. Uma Thurman, born on this day in 1970. Happy birthday, Uma Thurman. I think she was spotted a couple times in the farm store over there in Hawthorne Valley. I think she has a house close by here in Greene and Columbia counties. Maybe she's listening to the Monday afternoon show right now. As a big fan, Uma Thurman. Happy birthday, I want to say. 1970. She's got a couple years on me. Just a couple. Not much. Emperor Hirohito has a couple years on all of us. He was born on this day in 1921, the Emperor of Japan. And we played some Duke Ellington and John Coltrane. Duke Ellington, born on this day in 1899. Also played some Willie Nelson, born on this day in 1933. Hold on. Here's a little blurb with Willie and Beyonce. What is this? Hold on. Stay tuned. Hold on. What do we got here? Willie.
People grinning in your face.
That's why I'm going to the river to wash my sins away. Why can't you be true?
Come on, baby, it's time to rock.
Don't let go. Don't let go.
Welcome to the Smoke Hour on KNTRY Radio Texas. You know my name, no need to know yours. Now for this next tune, I want y'all to sit back, inhale, and go to that good place your mind likes to wander off to. And if you don't want to go, go find yourself a jukebox. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Willie Nelson. We will play some tune in honor of Willie again in the next few minutes. Daniel Day-Lewis, born in 1957, the Irish actor. Happy birthday. Whoopi Goldberg, actress, born in 1955. Whoopi Goldberg is older than Daniel Day-Lewis by 2 years. How about that? She looks younger. Go Whoopi. I hope she's doing good. Where's Whoopi these days? Great actress right there. Poplar trees leaf about now. Look out for the popple. Some call them the popples. That's according to the Farmer's Almanac. In Japan, it's Greenery Day. I think that is the holiday today. Arbor Day is around this time, but it's a movable festival. Not today. It's International Dance Day, what I have on my calendar. And on this date in history, in 1992, an uprising in Los Angeles and around the country took place after the Rodney King verdict. Four white LAPD officers were exonerated, were let go for beating the crap out of a black man on video for the first time on national television that everyone could see a beating like that. And it was just played and played. And riots took place. I remember being in Oakland, California in the summer of 1992 and watching the Boys in the Hood as the only white kid in a movie theater. And I just didn't really, I was so oblivious. Oh my God. Everything was cool though. It was cool. We're cool. Everything's cool. Can't we all just get along? But yeah, it's funny that so many white people are mad about O.J. Simpson. And O.J. just died, and white people are still mad about him. And they forget about the context of the LAPD and Rodney King and everything. It's like lots to unpack there. But hey, you know, Legacy of Slavery is it's an ongoing project. Genocide, too. Here we are. 1963, United States Supreme Court rules that racially segregated seating in the courtrooms is unconstitutional. It took till 1963, after the March on Washington, MLK was like, hey, I have a dream. They're like, okay, maybe we shouldn't separate the whites and blacks in our courtrooms when they sit down to watch our process in the judicial system, which is also a whole question. So now they can watch the racially flawed judicial system in an integrated manner. It's okay. Baby steps. We're working on it. And in 1970, United States forces invade Cambodia. Thank you to the dead Kennedys for serenading us with that song called Holiday in Cambodia. We're going to go to Ireland right now. The Cranberries. Why not? Let's go. So it's the birthday of the bassist of the Cranberries. Happy birthday to Mike Hogan. Mike Hogan, born in 1973. The bassist. Hope you enjoy. We're wrapping up the show.
Utterly untouched. false idol. It's called Zionism. Yes! It is a false idol that takes our most profound biblical story. False idol. It's called Zionism. Yes. They are enraptured by it. They are drunk on it. They are profaned by it. And that false idol is called Zionism. Yes! It is a false idol that takes our most profound biblical stories of justice and emancipation from slavery, the story of Passover itself, and turns them into brutalist weapons of colonial land theft, roadmaps for ethnic cleansing and genocide.
I will leave you with Naomi Klein, speaking over the weekend, journalist, author, and activist. Thanks for listening to the Monday Afternoon Show. Catch you next week, I hope.
It is a false idol that has taken the transcendent idea of the promised land, a metaphor for human liberation that has traveled across faiths to every corner of this globe, and dared to turn it into a deed of sale for a militarist ethnostate. Political Zionism's version of liberation is itself profane. From the start, it required the mass expulsion of Palestinians from their homes and ancestral lands in the Nakba. From the start, it has been at war with collective dreams of liberation. At a Seder, it is worth remembering that this includes the dreams of liberation and self-determination of the Egyptian people. This false idol of Zionism has long equated Israeli safety with Egyptian dictatorship and unfreedom and client state. From the start, it has produced an ugly kind of freedom that saw Palestinian children not as human beings, but as demographic threats. Much as the Pharaoh in the book of Exodus feared the growing population of Israelites and thus ordered the death of their sons. And as we know, Moses was saved from that by being put in a basket and adopted by an Egyptian woman. Zionism has brought us to our present moment of cataclysm, and it is time that we say clearly, it has always been leading us here. Yes. It is a false idol that has led far too many of our own people down a deeply immoral path that now has them justifying the shredding of core commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. The commandments brought down from the mount. It is a false idol that equates Jewish freedom with cluster bombs that kill and maim Palestinian children. Zionism is a false idol that has betrayed every Jewish value, including the value that we place on questioning a practice embedded in the Seder itself with its four questions asked by the youngest child. It also betrays the love that we have as a people for text and for education. Today, this false idol dares to justify the bombing of every single university in Gaza, the destruction of countless schools, of archives, of printing presses, the killing of hundreds of academics, scholars, journalists, poets, essayists. This is what Palestinians call scholasticide, the killing of the infrastructure and the means of education. Meanwhile, in this city, the universities call the NYPD and barricade themselves against the grave threat posed by their own students, asking them, students embodying the spirit of the Seder, asking the most basic question, asking questions like, how can you claim to believe in anything at all, least of all us, while you enable, invest in, and collaborate with this genocide? That's right. The false idol of Zionism has been allowed to grow unchecked for far too long. So tonight we say, it ends here. Our Judaism cannot be contained by an ethnostate, for our Judaism is internationalist by its very nature. Our Judaism cannot be protected by the rampaging military of that ethnostate, for all that military does is sow sorrow and reap hatred, including hatred against us as Jews. Our Judaism is not threatened by people raising their voices in solidarity with Palestine across lines of race, ethnicity, physical ability, gender identity, and generations. Our Judaism is one of those voices and knows that in this chorus lies both our safety and our collective liberation. Yes. Judaism is the Passover, is the Judaism of the Passover Seder, the gathering in ceremony to share food and wine with loved ones and strangers alike. This ritual, light enough to carry on our backs, in need of nothing but one another, we don't need walls, we need no temple, no rabbi, and there is a role for everyone, including, especially, the smallest child. The Seder is portable, a diaspora technology, if ever there was one. It is made to hold our collective grieving, our contemplation, our questioning, our remembering, and our reviving and rekindling of the revolutionary spirit. So tonight, so look around. This here is our Judaism. Rise and forests burn, and nothing is certain. We pray at the altar of solidarity and mutual aid, no matter the cost. We don't need or want the false idol of Zionism. We want freedom from the project that commits genocide in our name. Ideology that has no plan for peace except for deals with murderous theocratic petrostates next door while selling the technologies of robo-assassinations to the world. We seek to liberate Judaism from an ethnostate that wants Jews to be perennially afraid, that wants our children afraid, that wants us to believe that the world is against us so that we go running to its fortress, or at least keep sending the weapons and the donations. That is the false idol. And it's not just Netanyahu. It's the world he made and the world that made him. It's Zionism.
That's right.
What are we? We, in these streets for months and months, we are the exodus. The exodus from Zionism. Yes. To the Chuck Schumers of this world, we do not say, let our people go. We say, we have already gone, and your kids, they're with us now.
Award-winning journalist and author Naomi Klein speaking at what was called the Seder in the Streets to Stop Arming Israel on Tuesday at Grand Army Plaza in Brooklyn, a block from Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's home. Special thanks to Hannah Elias, Eric Halverson, and Ishmael Darrow of Democracy Now! Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org.